your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everyone, and happy Mother's Day, especially to the mothers out there. Although, as we'll be talking about during the hour, happy Mother's Day sometimes applies to the father fulfilling that role. We will be talking about families today and the importance of family and the change in a family. Our guests today, we have Eddie Harris and Renee Branson, both from Charlottesville's Children, Youth, and Family Services. Let's make sure that I have all the buttons pushed properly. Eddie, good morning.
Good morning to you.
And Renee.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you both for being here, especially to the mother and family. You said three kids?
Three boys, yes.
Good Lord. and Eddie, your role in your family?
I have a son and a granddaughter.
Well, congratulations to you both. I tried to call my mom to see if she was going to be home at 11 o'clock because I think what we're going to be talking about today, I have a very different background. I called to wish my mom a happy Mother's Day and to maybe get a few minutes of talk about what it was like to grow up in a family that had four generations, always lots of people. When I go home for Christmas, it's like 40-plus folks, you know, to grow up and raising kids with grandparents and great-grandparents and all the sorts of help in doing so, and I couldn't find her. Maybe she's having her own time away from the kids. More likely she's on the golf course. Anyway, I'll catch her later. But again, happy Mother's Day to everyone who's listening, regardless of your role in the family. I think everyone can be a mother at some time. So we'll be talking about families, children, youth, and family services. We have Renee Branson. She's a program manager. Eddie Harris, he's a parent educator. Write down the number because I think at some point many of you will want to call in with a question or a comment. That's 979-0919 for those of you close by. Those who need the toll-free number, it's 877-WNRN-ROCKS. Those folks listening on Lovingston's 94.7, and the folks giving us support, it's L. Oppelman, Central Virginia's complete music headquarters, continuously operated since 1890 at 909 Main Street in downtown Lynchburg. L. Oppelman's music department is now featuring acoustic guitars. They have banjos, mandolins, violins, electric guitar packages, and complete drum sets. L. Oppelman, that's 909 Main Street, Lynchburg, and at loppelman.com. All right, back to our guests, Eddie Harris and Renee Branson from Children, Youth, and Family Services. We're going to be talking about all kinds of families here, but does that phrase, it takes a village to raise a child, something like that?
That's right.
Still true today?
I think it is true. I think maybe what that means is changing and transforming. But I think it absolutely is still true, particularly because we are a more transient people. We move from place to place. So our families of origin might not be right around the corner like they used to be. We might not have four generations of families living all close together like you had the opportunity to do. And so finding community to help raise that family, to help provide a social support is absolutely vitally important. So yes.
And you said something in there about it's changing. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think because we are a society on the move. I know in my own personal life, as an adult, I've moved four or five different times to different states. And so because we are sometimes farther away from our families of origin, we do need to find and build our own community and family oftentimes.
Eddie, how about in your background?
Well, for me, yeah, it does take a village. And I'm in agreement with Renee about the way that just the world that we're living in is changing. So we have to be willing to make that transition as community members, as individuals, and as families. Yeah, I think it takes some real strong individuals to make up a strong family. And the family is definitely, to me personally, the most important institution that we have.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. The most important institution that we have, because
yes.
That's one of my questions. The importance of the family today.
Yeah.
Why do you think it has that that importance?
Well, I think it has that importance because, like I said, individuals make up families. Families make up strong neighborhoods. Strong neighborhoods make up strong communities, and strong communities make up a strong nation. So, yeah, that's the basis of my feeling.
Renee?
I absolutely agree with that. And I think when we look at our families and how we raise and nurture our children, that's going to impact them not only in the amount of time we have with them living in our homes, whether that's, you know, 18 years or sometimes now longer than 18 years, but everything that we do as a parent and in a family affects their future relationships. It affects their future ability to learn, to be successful in their own communities, to earn a living, and so it has implications that reach into every aspect of life.
But is it more important or even just as important as it was, let's say, two generations ago? So where does that take us? Let's say 1950, and I don't even know if that qualifies. I don't know what the age gap is in a generation. But is it as important today as it was in 1950? Because we seem to have more technology and a greater amount of education, that a person can be plucked from one place and put in a different place to live on their own without an actual biological family to live with. So is it just as important today as it was two generations ago?
Absolutely. I think it just can look different and in different ways. I think we are a dynamic people. And as things change and evolve, I think families can families change and evolve to meet the needs of not only that the individuals in the family, but what's necessary for our society. So, I think what you were saying gets back to what I said before, and that yes, we do tend to hop and move around, and we can kind of insert ourselves and farther away from our families of origin. But how we were nurtured and raised while we were with our families of origin before we maybe hopped across the country or whatever it is that we do will impact our success where we go, impact how we can function as adults. It's absolutely important. It looks different, though. It just looks different.
What looks different about it, Eddie?
Well, getting back to the question you say, is it still as important? I just want to make a comment on that, too. To me, yes, it is very much still important. And the way I measure that is just to look at the quality of life. Even with the high level of education, even with technology being on the rise, what I have to measure that by is the quality of life better, with the transition from what was a strong family in the late 50s, early 60s to what we have today. And do we need to keep on working on that? Because I think it's always a work in progress.
But some people would say the family is not as strong as it was in the 1950s or 60s. Is that because the family looks different now, as Renee said? Or is that because we're wrong to say that? Or it's not as strong?
I think it's something worth having a good, strong discussion about.
Goodness gracious, we got 50 minutes to go.
and something to really look at it, because it's different views and people have different perceptions of that. And personally, I think it's not as strong, you know, and I just have my reasons for that, you know. Being born in like the mid to late 50s and seeing life as I've seen it, maybe I haven't transitioned to what this newfangled family is all about. But I have to look at the, results, you know, and look at what I see in our children, and that's what I have it to gauge. That's what I gauge it on.
It's 11:11 here on Mother's Day, WNRN Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, talking about families with our guests Eddie Harris and Renee Branson, both from Charlottesville's Children, Youth, and Family Services. Eddie, you brought up a point that drives me directly to a question for both of you. Describe your family background. And when you grew up, and I said right away, I grew up in this traditional Norman Rockwell family. I still have both parents alive, fast approaching their 50th anniversary. I have two grandparents alive, one who's 91, one who's 89, both very active in their communities. When I graduated from high school, I still had three great-grandmothers alive playing a vital role in my life, and we were at somebody's house every Sunday for post-church dinner. Not everybody has that. What's your description of your family background?
Well, the way that my family was is that I come from, fortunately, a two-parent family background. My father died very early, died when I was 10 years old. And I have four siblings, strong relationships with both grandparents. And we used to do the visit the grandparents on Sunday, also both grandparents. And strong relationship with my aunts and my uncles. And what was more important to that is that the community that we lived in was very strong, strong families in our community. And, you know, and my father being absent, other male figures showed up to take on that position and to help to guide me. You know, a lot of times I wasn't available for the guidance, but it was there.
Does that help you in your role at CYFS?
Yeah, it helps me out a great deal.
Because, and we're going to get into it a little bit later, but you are one of the parent educators for the Real Dads program.
Yes, sir.
Correct. And a brief sentence or two description of Real Dads program.
Well, Real Dads is a program that's really focusing on men. You know, men that are incarcerated or coming from an incarcerated lifestyle. And we focus on parenting goals, supporting these men in fathering, and getting their take on the importance of their role in the family. You know, helping to support them.
I'm catching up with you after we finish because I'm trying to get the believers and achievers to come on the program, talk about that. For those who aren't aware, hopefully in a future Sunday you can listen in and find out more about what that is. Renee Branson,
yeah,
your family background.
So my family background, I in a lot of ways, came from a very traditional nuclear family. My parents are still together. I have a younger brother. We grew up in Ohio, and all of my distant families from Kentucky, with very strong roots in eastern Kentucky. And growing up in Ohio, had some aunts and uncles that we stayed very, very close to. And actually, when I woke up this morning, looked at my text messages, and had several Happy Mother's Day messages from cousins. So I've got a large network of family that absolutely influences my life as a parent, and also my professional life as well. My role models were absolutely my mother and my grandmother, who always worked outside the home, but absolutely were nurturing and loving and supportive women and mothers in their own right. So it's a model for me, for sure.
But as we've said a couple times now, today's family isn't necessarily the same. There's a greater percentage of today's families that aren't this traditional structure, two parents, four grandparents, or certainly a great percentage of them. Today's families are changed. And I think, I don't remember, maybe both of you said that while the family may look different than before, it still provides, it still has the same goals and needs and importance. So let's talk about what sort of the, is there a standard family for 2012?
No, and honestly, I really don't know if there ever was one standard family. I think in the past we presented, or we saw on the TV screen, one standard family, but I don't know that there ever has been one standard family. I think that now that we recognize and we see a multitude of types of families, we learn to meet those families' needs and meet them where they are. And that can be a challenge. I can speak as both as a parent and as a professional who works with parents. It can be a challenge to figure out, because at its essence, children still need the same thing, regardless of what the family structure looks like around that family. So they still need the same things. But the parents and how the families need to be supported look very different.
Eddie, what do children need? I mean, if they need the same things, what are these needs?
Well, I think it's really important for the kids to have an environment that they feel comfortable enough to share of themselves so they can mature and grow and have a good quality of life. And sometimes that's not available because of the dysfunction in today's families. And, that's one thing that's important. If it's a single mom that's raising the kids, that's in the house with the kids, it's also valuable and important when you can get a quality relationship with the father playing his role, even though he's not in the household, you know, being a part of that partnership. When that's available, I think that helps out a great deal.
So what are some of the biggest challenges? It's been said already, 11:17 on the wake-up call, that today's families are not as traditional as they were before, even if that tradition was accurate or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's improper to say that there are different challenges here in this decade that didn't exist before. But so what are some of the current challenges that today's family deal with, especially the non-traditional type,
well,
single parent or broken family or whatever term you want to use?
When you say that some of the challenges are the same, I'm really in agreeance with that, because we do have a lot of the same challenges. You know, I think it's about how we as parents and how we as a community and families respond to those challenges today. I think it's a lot different than they were responded to, say, in the late 50s and early 60s.
Renee?
I think what, especially maybe families that have added, whether it's an added challenge of being a family that children who are being raised in two homes or raised in a single parent home, I think the challenge is, or can be, one of the things can be, maintaining structure and boundaries and a semblance of that structure. So expectations are known and as much as possible similar from house to house. So if a child is part of the time with dad, part of the time with mom, and so that their expectations are known. I think sometimes when children tend to fall through the cracks is when their expectations aren't there, or there's an assumption that, well, dad's going to take care of that, or mom's going to take care of that, and then no one takes care of that. And so that's why it's vitally important, whether it's a shared custody, so if we're talking about, of course, two parent homes and two separate homes, whether it's a complete joint custody, shared custody, or whether it's a situation where dad's not able to be or mom's not able to be a custodial parent, whether they're incarcerated or they live somewhere different, there is still that shared responsibility of co-parenting. So those cracks don't open up.
11:20 here on the wake-up call. Our guests, Eddie Harris and Renee Branson from Charlottesville's Children, Youth, and Family Services. as we talk about families and the importance, whether it's mother on Mother's Day or father on upcoming Father's Day or whomever is filling that role. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly cloudy with a chance of showers after 2 p.m. today. Partly sunny today, highs in the upper 70s. A little cooler over in the valley. Showers likely tonight, lows about 60 degrees, and then showers with the possibility of a thunderstorm tomorrow. Again, highs in the upper 70s. Right now in the valley, it's fair and 72, 69 in Lynchburg, 75 in Richmond, 77 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And support today also coming from The Backyard, UVA Corner's culinary secret at the end of Elliewood Avenue. The Backyard has a seasonal menu open for lunch and dinner, daily specials, and a rotating list of beers on tap. The Backyard is now open on Sundays, serving brunch and then a pub food menu until close. You can call ahead for takeout, 202-8215. You can also find The Backyard on Facebook. Again, talking about families with our guests, Renee Branson and Eddie Harris. Call in if you have a question or a comment. I'd love to hear from a mother or a grandparent, because I think that's one of the things we're going to get into in just a moment, is the difference in what is today's family, the structure. We've talked about that a lot, how it's different. 979-0919-1877. WNRN Rocks. One of the things that I kept finding repeated, maybe not listed at the top at the Charlottesville Youth and Family Services website, cyfs.org, is that correct?
That's correct.
So you can go there and see the different programs that are offered. But if you looked sort of fine lines and read it in the background and doing my homework just from, you know, Googling up things about modern families, et cetera, a lot has to do with race, education, and income, and how that leads, seems to be a part of intact families or broken families. Eddie, you're sort of looking at me like, wait a minute, I don't know that I buy that.
No, as a matter of fact, I just did some a little bit of research myself. I was doing some research for a fatherhood article. And one thing that I found is that the statistics say that 7 out of 10 black children are born to unwed mothers. And that's a true statement. It's not necessarily a racial statement. It's a tragic truth. And that kind of shed some light on how that is. Now, why that is, I don't know.
Why do you say tragic statement?
Well, because it's parallel with the absentee father. It's paralleled with early pregnancy, juvenile delinquency, and just other tragic type of situations that children having an absent father have to go through.
One of the other things I sort of read, and I'm going to sort of skim through some of this, children in single-parent families are 2 to 3 times more likely than children in two-parent families to have emotional and behavioral problems, drop out of high school, be in trouble with the law. Compared with children in intact families, children have are much higher risk for physical or sexual abuse. Renee, you're nodding your head.
I would agree with that. I would want to put an asterisk on that, though, I think. And I'm not exactly sure. I mean, I've heard and know a lot of these statistics as well, and know them to be true. But I think we need to underscore what a healthy and intact family can look like and what a single parent family really means. I think Eddie speaks really eloquently about the idea of having an absent father, where there is no father in the picture, and the negative consequence that that brings. I think that there are single, many, many single parent homes that are intact in their own way because both parents are still very involved. And we also see families where there are two parents in the home, but whether we would call them intact or functional would be the farthest thing from the truth. And so whether an intact family means mom, dad, and kids living under one roof, that's not necessarily the protective factor, not necessarily the protective factor, but the protective factor is two parents being very, very involved and nurturing and responsive to their children.
And I'm going to ask this, and then we're going to jump back and ask Eddie to talk about the Real Dads program. But one of the things that I think I got from the CYFS.org website is how, and what I keep wanting to come back to, broken family. Is that the proper word that's used now in the business? Or is there some other phrase that's used to describe families where the two parents are neither, or they're not in the same residence?
Mm-hmm.
What is the proper, is broken family still correct?
Well, I'm trying to react to not kind of just on my own personal feeling is that it doesn't, saying a broken home doesn't fit, not all the time anyway. I mean, certainly there are situations and there are homes that are broken and damaged, and that's one of the primary things that we do at CYFS is to help support families who feel broken. But because there has been a separation or a divorce does not mean that that family has to stay broken, because nothing works when it's broken. And so to hang that moniker on a family for the rest of their life, that they're broken, I think sets up failure and a sense of failure towards the future. That's my own personal.
Well, I like that. That's a good description. 11:27 on the Wake Up Call, talking about families here on what I hope is a happy Mother's Day for everyone. Renee Branson, she's a program manager, and Eddie Harris, a parent educator at the Children, Youth, and Family Services. I wanted, for a moment, we talked about divorced parents but having both parents still be involved, whether it's emotionally involved or involved in all ways. But I think one of the things that makes it not a broken family is that parents showing respect for one another and giving support to the other. And Eddie, you touched on this. So before we get into the Real Dads program, talk about the importance of this part of the family.
I think when it's at all possible, I think it's important for both parents to be involved. I salute all single parents that's doing it, because, you know, it has to be done, and it's about the quality of life that we're able to provide. It does a great deal of good for mothers and fathers to be involved in their children's lives.
But you can have both parents involved and still not have a healthy family, correct?
That's correct. That's correct. That was sort of like what Renee was saying about having two parents under the same household with the kids doesn't necessarily make it functional. You know, I think it's important for both parents to come to a place where they're willing to support each other in ways of having the children be the beneficiaries.
But how does that happen? Because there are certainly relationships out there that where there is divorce, where the parents don't live together, and let's assume that they live close enough that the children can go back and forth on a regular basis, whether it's alternate weekends or however it works. But to many people, especially to the children, can see that the parents don't get along, that whether or not the one doesn't speak well of the other, or maybe there's no communication at all, how does that help the children to have a relationship with the father and a relationship with the mother, but to not see any relationship between the two adults? Is that functional?
In that description, it's not. I mean, that's the challenge, is how two people can, who might have even a very toxic relationship with one another, learn to, and it does have to be very learned, learn to co-parent, and what that means to co-parent together, even though they are separate. So putting the child and the child's needs first. And it becomes, I think, sometimes for many parents who are divorced, almost has to become a bit of a business relationship, and they're trying to achieve the same goals, mm-hmm. of raising a healthy and happy child. And so they're not going to maybe have those warm moments together, you know, sharing a child's accomplishments together, but side by side, individually, experiencing that warmth of a child's, you know, eighth grade graduation, or, you know, first day at kindergarten. They can still enjoy that and be there side by side, separately, individually, but together they have this, what might look like a business relationship.
That's Renee Branson. She's a program manager at the Children, Youth, and Family Services. We are talking about families today, the modern family, the traditional family, and how to make either or both work at the best for the family as a whole. Let me take a moment and thank Dixon Disposal for their support. When Dixon picks up your trash, they sort and separate it for recycling. Dixon also offers single-stream recycling during regular pickup. You can help the planet stay green with curbside service from Dixon Disposal at your home or business. For more information, it's DixonDisposal.com. Phone them 434-978-2111. We talk about the parents coming together as a business. Is there a co-parenting program at CYFS to teach you how to do this, not be toxic?
Absolutely, yes. We have a class. It's a transparenting class for parents who are divorcing, particularly if there's been a lot of conflict, toxicity, and really to help them negotiate how they move forward for the benefit of their children.
Now, Eddie Harris is a parent educator. It seems like when the relationship between the mother and the father ends, whether it's toxic or not, that the easiest thing, certainly stereotypical thing that happens, is that the father sort of fades off.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said at the beginning, and as I know you believe in, to the fact that you are part of the Real Dads program,
sure,
that is a crucial error.
Yeah.
So talk a little bit about the importance of the father staying in that and what the Real Dads program does.
Well, I think it's really important for the father to stay involved, of course, for the children, and of course, for the support of the mother, but for himself as well. It goes right back to how we started this discussion and how we started this conversation. It does take a village. So, you know, we need to support fathers and mothers and families as a community. And I think the moving target is, how do we learn to do that better? You know, of course it's important for that father to be there. It's important for him. And it's also important for him to have an environment where he feels like he can talk about how that has him feeling and what his views are. And we're not always able to get that as men inside of that family dynamic. So we have to have community support. We have to reach out and get support where we can. And as a community, we need to be available.
And again, I fall back on stereotypes a lot because it's not a situation I'm familiar with. I grew up with that four-generation family, et cetera. But the current belief system is that the mother must stay involved. That's her role. and it's always been her role, is to raise the children. Isn't it easy for the father to step aside and leave it behind because now I'm free and I don't have to raise the children. I don't have to have these needy people in my life for 18, 20, 25 years. Why would I step into the Real Dads program? What do I benefit from doing that?
I think looking from the outside in, one may view it that way. Oh, it's easier for me to just step away now. Why would I want to hang around for 18 years? But it's not an outside job. It's an inside job. And I haven't met a young man yet that didn't want to be a good father. The trick is that there's no manual, there's no book that says, hey, this is how you be a good father, 101. We have to come together as a community, as men, to teach each other how to be better fathers and better men.
Well, you could make a lot of money writing that manual. You should hurry up.
Yeah, definitely.
But some people, I would think, come about this with ease.
Uh-huh.
And some, don't they have to be pushed or pulled into the process?
Well, I think it's just the differences that we have as individuals. You know, some people respond a little different. Some people mature a little quicker than others. So it's just one of those differences that we have. Some people have to be pushed a little bit more than others.
And I think that that's true for both for mothers and fathers. And I think a lot of that goes back to, or can go back to, their own experiences as children, how they were nurtured and bonded with, and what their own level of attachment with their families of origin will impact how they're able to parent. We know that when there's been a difficult attachment with a child, when that child grows up, it's harder for them then to show attachment, be there, be very present with their child once they are parents. And it's almost like learning a second language, really. And that's one of the things, actually, in the home visiting program, that we go into homes with of young families, moms and dads, that might have had some risk factors that make it more difficult for them, and really show and teach them about how to tap into, like Eddie said, they all want to be good moms and dads, how to teach them sometimes that second language of nurturing and bonding and attention that they might not have ever received themselves.
That's Renee Branson talking about fathering here on Mother's Day. Renee and Eddie Harris here from Children, Youth, and Family Services. A question out to both of you. The role of the father has changed. The father used to be the main breadwinner, the disciplinarian. Has the role, the changing in the role, affected whether or not the father still wants to be involved?
Well, I think it's a thing that was discussed earlier, is that we have to start to make those adjustments, because the father is not necessarily at all times going to be the breadwinner in today's society. So we have to adjust what that means to us personally as men, you know. And a part of that is keeping a conversation alive and being able to talk about freely what's really going on the inside and how that makes a man feel. You know, and it's difficult.
Well, I don't think I stated that question very well, because that, you know, that answer sort of brings me about, which is, does the expectation of how I grew up, and again, you know, so I'll bring this back to me. I grew up with my father, the main breadwinner, the disciplinarian, et cetera, and now when the time comes and I can't fill that role in the same way because of the change in society, does that make it easier for me to just leave it behind and say, I can't live in that changed world? I need to, my dad was the breadwinner. My dad was the disciplinarian. And now you're asking me to not do that and to be the child, you know, to give the child care and to, you know, et cetera.
Well, I think when the script changes sometimes, and that leaves people feeling like they don't know what to do. Not that they don't want to do something, but when the model, your model from your youth, whether it's a really positive and rich example or whether it's not, whether it's lacking, when you are trying to do something different, it leaves you without a model. It leaves you without a script. And so I do think it can be easier to, whether it's a mother or father in the situation, throw up our hands and say, I've got nothing to guide me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I'm supposed to be handling this situation. And that's where a strong community can come in. That's where an organization like Children, Youth, and Family Services can come in and say, okay, we can help create this new script, this new narrative for you, co-create it with you, so then you do know how to move forward, even though it looks very different than what you had done in the past.
11:41 here on the Wake Up Call.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
Oh, her daughter's killer was convicted in February, but Sharon Love still seeks accountability. Yeardley Love's mother has filed suit against UVA and its lacrosse coaches. How likely is victory, and will it lead to any meaningful change? Did you miss the revelry a few weeks ago at Foxfield? Well, not everyone did. The Hook shares information about all the illegal deeds. And why did the city of Charlottesville sell 3.5 acres of downtown property for $10? The Hook. Read all about it every week. And today's programming on WNRN brought to you by Blue Ridge Graphics at Meade Avenue and East High Street in Charlottesville, providing custom t-shirts and sportswear, plus promotional items for schools, organizations, and businesses. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, online, brgtshirts.com. And at noon, Drew Thompson will be here for Les Temps Purdue, the best of 80s and 90s alternative music. Drew will play the roots of alternative because you can't understand where we go without first knowing where we've been. Enjoy the times gone by with Les Temps Purdue only on WNRN. Okay, back to our guests, Eddie Harris and Renee Branson, as we talk about families, the importance of families, and the Children, Youth, and Family Services, and how they help keep the families healthy. Renee, talk about a couple of the programs that are out there. One of my favorite was the Parenting Mobile.
That's right.
Yes. So that can be put in a truck and taken to anywhere.
You might have seen us around, and I bet many of you hopefully have. We're a big, big green van with bright yellow letters that says Parenting Mobile, and we go into communities where parents might not have the resources of preschools or early literacy programs, and we take those resources directly to the parents and provide play groups and help parents encourage early literacy with their children. We have really, if you think, because we do a lot actually at Children, Youth, and Family Services, and so sometimes people say, "Well, it's so much. What all is it?" We think of our programming really in two kind of main areas. One is helping kids be learning ready to succeed, attend, and succeed school. And the other is helping them be relationship ready, relationships with their families, with their peers, with their future partners as adults, really healthy in their relationships. And so all of our programs fall under one of those two categories. So the Parenting Mobile falls under the category of some of them straddle both. It really falls under helping them with their early literacy, but it also helps them with helping parent-child interaction during those kind of reading activities and the games that they play together, and really bonding and helping them with their relationship.
One of the other programs, child care quality. I want to come back to this one in a minute, or continue this one, because I think child care is a key factor in today's family. But what does the child care quality program do?
That is all about helping families find just what it says, child care that is of superb quality, really helping connect those families with child care that they can both afford and that is the best for them. We help with a rating system so families know exactly kind of what at what level different child care centers, whether it's in-home or preschools, how they're doing and how they're faring. And that is so very important. I know I can speak, you know, as a mom, working mother myself with my youngest in a preschool. That's one of the largest stresses that a parent can have is my child not only safe and okay during the day while I'm at work, but are they getting that attention and care and enrichment that they need?
And Eddie, because the child care, I mean, I would assume that it's easier or less stress if there are two parents involved in how the child care takes place and two incomes, whether they're separate with a child, what's it called when you paying your part of the cost to the parent who's actually keeping the kids, because it's not inexpensive. And it's a large percentage of the income that you're bringing home from work. So talk about that for a minute, whether you're a single parent or whether you are two parents living separately, about the importance of childcare and keeping the family healthy.
I think it's really important whether you're a single parent or two parents coming together, attempting to meet that responsibility. The thing is it going to be the relationship that we have with that responsibility? You know, I could pay part of my child support payment and be kicking and screaming and moping and groping about it all the time. And as you stated earlier, what type of message does that give to our children when they see that type of interaction between parents? So it's really important to shape the relationship we have with our responsibilities as parents also. And that's part of what we do at Children, Youth, and Family Services to help to support that, you know, to support that transition into maturity as a parent.
There are other programs here. I love this one. Surviving the teen years.
That's right. My oldest is 14, so I'm signing myself up for this class. Actually, I don't teach it, but I'm ready to take Jack Gallagher's knowledge and run with it. Yes, so we have it's a program for parents and teens together, so they can each survive those what can be challenging years. We also have as part of our youth services programming specifically for teens who are at risk. We have a 24-hour teen hotline if they are for teens who have run away from home. We help connect them with safe resources. We provide family and individual counseling for teenagers in that area.
Again, it's Eddie Harris and Renee Branson here today from Children, Youth, and Family Services. As we talk about families of all types, not just the importance of a mother, but also as Eddie and his Real Dads program talks about the importance of a father. So we celebrate Mother's Day and a little early Father's Day here on Wake Up Call. There's certainly been a lot of issue out in the news media with North Carolina and their vote for same-sex couples. Take yourselves away from Children, Youth, and Family Services. I don't expect either of you to answer this question as a representative of that organization. But when you have a same-sex couple, how do you find the other gender role with the family? Because while I believe that anyone of love and support can do many things, a single mother can do many things that the father might do, you can't fill all that. And the same thing works the other way. I have several friends who are the single parent father to the kids. But there are some things that you can't do that the mother might do. Some conversations it would be easier to have from a woman, etc. So how do you fill that gap, whether it's small or large? What are your beliefs on that?
Well, for me, even having like a single mom, even if it doesn't involve same-sex marriaging, even if it's just a single mother raising a son, or if I'm raising a daughter, it's certain things about womanhood I'm not going to be able to tell her because I've never been a woman, you know, and that just my personal feelings on that, you know, I would have to have someone that I trust and respect to share that part with her, you know, from the female gender, because it's obvious that I'm not a woman and I couldn't tell her about being a woman in certain ways.
Renee?
Well, I would agree with that. I think whether we're talking about same-sex couples or we're talking about single parents who don't have the support of the other gendered parent, it is important to, again, it goes back to what we started off with, that it taking a community and a village to say, when I don't have an answer, when I don't know because I can't speak to it from my own experience, where do I go to pull in more information and more support for me and for my child? And that is regardless of whether a person is in a same-sex relationship or a single parent or a mom and dad living together under the same roof, because regardless of that configuration, we're all going to have a situation where we say, I don't know how to deal with this. I can't speak to it from my own experience, and I'm going to have to get some help from the outside, whether that's someone down the street, whether it's an agency like ours, whether it's picking up the phone and calling mom, whatever it is. We can't do it alone.
The importance of communication in
Absolutely.
The family and mentors elsewhere throughout
yes.
the village. 11:52 on the wake-up call, talking about families. Renee Branson, Eddie Harris here with us. I don't know whether I made this phrase up or heard it from someone else or found it online. Grandparenting is what I call it, where it seems to be a greater percentage in today's world where the immediate biological parents are not those taking care of the younger kids. It's the grandparents that are doing so. Eddie, you're both shaking your head, but I want to start with you. Does that happen am I right that it happens in a greater percentage? And does it change the ways that the kids are taught, what they learn, et cetera?
Yeah, I think it does happen in a great degree. And I do think that it changes the way that that the kids are parented too, because earlier you stated how it's changed from the 50s to now for its parenting. And you probably are asking a parent to step into a role that they haven't did for over 20 to 25 years. So that relationship with parenting is going to be really different than what's going on right now. So it's a very challenging situation for the grandparent and for the child.
Renee, do the kids, when that happens, do you see that a lot at Children, Youth, and Family Services, the grandparenting thing?
We do see it, and I think that we, in our different programs, we see it in different ways, and it can have some really significant challenges. One of the ways, not every way, I want to preface to say that this isn't every way we see it, but one of the ways we see it is in our VOCA program, which is Victims of Child Abuse. We have counselors who work with children who have been victims of child abuse, who've been removed from the home, and now living with kin, often grandparents, because it was not safe in their home. And so you have grandparents who were not expecting to be in this role again as a primary parent. They have a child who they love very much, but who has experienced a trauma. And so the child has some struggles and challenges that they have to get over. And so it makes it very, very, very complex and can be difficult. And it can also be very rewarding because they know that they've been able to provide a child with a safe environment.
11:55 on the wake-up call. This is WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg. And I need to thank Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for their support again this Sunday. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports, where your happiness is their priority. At Blue Ridge, you can return gear and apparel purchases at any time for any reason. Blue Ridge Mountain Sports is at Barracks Road in Charlottesville. They have two locations in Richmond. For more store information, it's brms.com. Do either of you see where having the grandparent raises the child? Does that make the child different from the other kids that you see who are raised by their biological parents? Maybe from learning different social mores, from having different emphasis on school education or anything like that?
I think it certainly can. I think we are all influenced by, of course, we're all influenced by the environment that we're raised. And when we have a larger generational gap, it can absolutely have an impact. I can't speak to specific examples of where that has seemed very different in terms of outcome. It would be interesting to see outcome studies on that. But I don't know that there are longitudinal kind of long range studies on that.
Well, CYFS is you depend on donations, correct?
We do. That is one of the things we are a nonprofit.
Yes. So now you have your next topic to write your grant for.
There you go.
So there you go. If I only knew how to write a grant, I would help you with that, but I don't. 11:57 on the Wake Up Call, finishing our hour with Eddie Harris and Renee Branson from Children, Youth, and Family Services. Talk for a minute about the mentors that are out there. We've talked several times about the need for the family and where the various parts of the family may come from. Eddie, your goal is to keep the biological father as helpful and as involved as possible, and I would assume that that implies both ways. But that's not always possible, whether it's by choice or by fact of life. Mm-hmm. But you need to have, we've talked about the importance of having both genders involved. Mm-hmm. Does CYFS have mentors out there to help the parents or the families?
We absolutely do. One of the things, the home visiting program really provides that intensive mentorship for young families. Our home visitors, also called family support workers, go into the homes, it's a voluntary program, with children between the ages of 0 and 6, and meet with families in their homes once a week for an hour, really modeling for them how to positively interact with their child, helping them to provide developmentally appropriate activities for their children, and really showing them through modeling, through mentoring, how to build connection and relationship. So it is we are very, very hands-on in terms of it, of being the mentors that some parents might not naturally have on their own.
Just a minute left in the program. Eddie, running the Real Dads program, take a moment and reach out to those who are listening who may not be involved in their family, or those who have their own family, but you may need to step out and help support another.
Yeah, it's a really important thing for fathers to get involved. And if you see someone that needs support, it's what we need more of, is guys stepping to other guys and stepping to other men. And, being that support, women stepping to men and being that support. And I think it's vitally important for our community to do this. We're going to see the difference. It doesn't cost a lot to be available. And connecting all of these dots to all of these supports that are in the community. And this is a very helpful community, a very supportive community, once we get all the dots connected.
That's Eddie Harris. He's a parent educator in the Real Dads program at Children, Youth, and Family Services. Renee Branson with us today, a program manager with CYFS. You can find cyfs.org to learn more about all the programs that are available. Thanks to both of you for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day again to all. Wait for Mother to probably Birdie number 18 when I catch up with her later today. And we'll see you next Sunday. Thanks.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. And by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the Wake Up Call, only on WNRN.